Sanjay here.
Thank you. All right, you guys. So I'm a little bit nervous because I had many of you come up to me saying, "You are so funny. I'm so glad you're back." I don't feel very funny today. So just wanted to warn you, you know, just some days it's very lighthearted, but there are some days, and usually goes hand in hand in marriage and parenting, where it's like, it's hard. It's just plain hard. And so I've been in one of those seasons. I don't know if you know the gospel girl preacher evangelist Christine Kane. She's here in the Orange County area, and she had posted on Instagram either last night or this morning, the area you get the devil shames you with the most is usually the area that God wants to use you in the most. So I get attacked with this feeling like I'm a total fraud before I go speak to mom's group sometimes. Because I know my struggles, but it has been because I've been so aware of my struggles that I've had to be very, very intentional about where I go with my struggles. You know how you can go here? You get stuck in your brain with your struggles, and that inner dialogue, it becomes like this script playing on loop. And what I've learned is when I get stuck up here listening to the same negative dialogue, guess what's coming out of here? Some variation of those negative words. For example, I'm folding the clothes, and the boys, all three of them, are down the hall, and I totally remember this day so clearly. This was about 5 years ago. And I'm folding clothes, and they are throwing fits with each other, like all of them. And I had just been doing all the parenting that was so good. And it had been a whole 30 seconds, and I'm trying to get these things maybe folded before they all look worse than before I washed them, you know? So I'm folding them, and I heard myself speak my thought, which was, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. And it just started coming out over and over, and it shamed me. Those words. But what was worse than the words was where they started. I had this script going in my mind that eventually became the script coming out of my mouth. And then when my children did wrong that afternoon, it came out at them. Not, I hate you, not, I hate your behavior, but a very blanket, I hate this. And I knew that that was only one of the things I had to stop saying. And so, like I said, we might laugh a little bit today. But what I'd really love to see is that we make today a practical day of putting our finger on what we're saying that we want to stop saying. And then let's stop saying it by crowding out those words and replacing them with new words. So we're going to make some plans today. Last time I was here, we talked about, I had you guys yell out, what are some of your common triggers? We're going to do that again, and we're going to start making some plans. Well, what do you say when that happens? And you say, oh, I tell them to shut up. Or I tell them, you know, whatever. I just yell. Okay, what can we say in those times? Because we've got to submit those thoughts and submit those words and place them down and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. And instead, I have to have a very, very clear action plan, or I'm just going to say those words again. What I've found is the things that I screw up with the most shouldn't take me by surprise because they're usually the things I screwed up with yesterday and the day before and last week and last month when the kids get up from the kitchen table during a meal that I had worked on for a couple of hours and another one's melting down and another one's being rude while we're trying to have a conversation and I melt down. Now, if that's going to be my trigger, praying about it, ladies, doesn't make the trigger go away. Praying about it says, God, I need your help. God, I need some wisdom. God, what does your word have to say about it? But we actually need to do the work of making a different plan about how we're going to cope with our crud at the dinner table, right? We got to actually make a plan and do something different. And that print that they gave away, it said, figure out what you mean to say before you say something mean. Because oftentimes we can cry during these times together about we feel bad about what we said. But we need to actually figure out what we want to say instead. I'm a huge fan of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit was very, very hard for me with three little boys. The fruit of the Spirit was very hard for me with two little boys. The fruit of the Spirit is very hard with one little child that cries and you're sleep deprived and your husband's traveling and you're hormonal. The fruit of the Spirit's just hard. Being loving, joyful, patient, kind, having those that fruit transform the words we say and the way we say them. And I think sometimes we look at, okay, how does God tell me I get the fruit? And then we keep it in this very little box. And I'm going to tell you what I mean, because I'm not telling you the word of God is wrong. I'm just saying I think there's a step beyond where we stop with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, come on, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We know that. And there's another scripture that says, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, you will. You're going to bear fruit. So, this is what I told the Lord during my struggles. Okay, God, your word says if I abide in you and you abide in me, I will bear fruit. And I thought of it this way. Have you ever spent time with someone that has an accent? Like, I go to speak in South Carolina and I do not sound like me. I talk like them. I go to Dallas, Texas, and I talk like them. I hang out with my girlfriends that are all from Australia. They do book studies, and I'll go, and I'm like, I don't even know where I'm from. I don't even know what continent I'm from the way I speak when I'm with them. So I want to abide with God in his word. I want him to abide in me, and I want to start bearing his fruit. And that is the best way to get the fruit of the Spirit, except what about when it's not working? What about when you're like, okay, I'm setting the alarm for 5:45 so I can get up and have 15 minutes before someone comes in and breathes in my face, right? So you do that, and you're in the Word, and you got those 15 minutes, and you went to bed last night knowing that God's mercies were new in the morning, waiting for you. But then you wake up, you spend time in the Word, you're believing those mercies, you're thanking God for them, and the kids come and they breathe in your face, and everything's good for 17 minutes, and then all of a sudden, it's not again. So what do we do when we abide with God and God abides with us when we're in the Word and our words still suck? We have to do the muscular work of what I call keeping in step with his Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But that verse goes on to say, if you live by the Spirit, then keep in step with the Spirit. And I think that we forget that we got to keep in step with what God's word has told us we need to do and how we need to behave and how we need to speak to our children. And so I want to tell you, moms, if I was here last year and we cried together about the conviction, and you're still there and I'm still there, then we need to stop doing some of the things that we feel crappy about. We actually do need to do the muscular work of keeping in step with the Spirit and making some different choices. Colossians 3, the whole thing I love. But I want to read part of it to you. And I'm coming at this, guys, from a Christian biblical perspective, applying the Word of God to our mothering lives. There are probably many of you here who maybe were raised in the church, maybe you go for Christmas, but you wouldn't necessarily say that this is what you're building your life on or that you're turning to God. I hope that you'll come with an open heart to this lesson today, because there is so much for us here. Christians believe that Jesus has the power to save us from sin struggles, right? That he took our sins upon himself upon the cross so that we could be completely forgiven and live a forever life with him in heaven. So there's all this forgiveness there. But I think what we forget sometimes is the same God that died for our sins and saves us eternally can also save us internally and in our homes. And so we're turning to him for some salvation help here. So chapter 3 of Colossians says, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So let's go to him if we want to make some choices that are different in our homes. Set your minds on things above, not on the earthly things. For you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Okay, this is the part I want to really, really have you hear, guys. Okay, therefore consider, verse 5, the members of your earthly body is dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. I mean, who can call out some sin in your own life right now? Like, I know that I'm greedy with my time, and I can't cope when I'm on my phone flipping through Instagram and my kids come up needing me. Like, there's greed in my life. How about passion? Who responds to their kids with a little too much passion rather than compassion? Right? So all of these things really, really apply to me. I'm just going to assume they do to a few of you as well. It is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come, and in them also we once walked when we were living in them. But now, this is the part where it gets good, but now you also put them aside. Do you hear that term? Put them aside. So often we go to bed feeling cruddy about how we behaved, and we trust that God has new mercies for us in the morning, and God, help me be different tomorrow. But his word's telling us, you know, if you got some sin in your life with how you're talking to your people, you need to put it aside. Now, this chapter goes on to say, take off. Like, it's take off your old self along with all your nasty responses to the people you love and put on your new self. And listen to this verse, because it's so much like the fruit of the Spirit, which we think if we just hang out with God, his Spirit will rub off on us, and that's all that we have to do. It's really a muscular command here. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on now a heart of compassion, not passion, but compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Who needs to do this more in their home with their kiddos? Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should do. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Okay, that's just like my introduction. We're going to get really practical here. But does anyone hear what I'm saying when I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit and our prayers about God change me? And he says, okay, spend time with me. I'm going to rub off on you. But then you actually need to do some things different. Like if you are melting down at the mess in your kids' room and their inability to get their shoes on and get in the car, now, we need to make better plans so that we can respond different than what we have been doing. And so that's what we're going to spend a little bit time doing right now. Last time I was here, I gave you the story of my middle boy who would sit on the ground in his underwear, not getting ready for school, playing with Legos. Beds unmade, wet towels on the ground. Does anybody remember this? This is Brody. Okay, no hands. So I'm going to recount because this is one area where I really had to make a different plan. I was losing my crud all over Brody every day and then crying about it and then asking forgiveness. And then I made a different plan. And I had to make a couple plans to support how we were going to do this. I said to him, Brody, what do you need from me in the morning? Because I can't keep coming to you in the morning and waking you up. He was 12 at the time. 12 should be able to do this. I had to go to him. And does he have a couple diagnoses? Yes, he does. That's just my very blanket way of saying there are issues. But I'd go to him in the mornings and say, honey, it's time to get up. We got to do it now. Okay. All right. And then I'd go do all the other people and all the other things and the breakfast and the lunch and the And I'd look through the door and he's still flopped and he wears like 4 blankets on him. So I'm like, I said, get up. And I'd take him by the hand into the shower. You smell. You need a shower. You have to use shampoo and conditioner and soap. And you have to do it fast. And then I'd realize 10, 12, 15 minutes later that I still hear the shower going. But I'm doing all the other things. So I go back. And he's sitting on the floor of the shower, kind of splashing in puddles. Okay, the diagnoses aren't that bad. So, pumping the shampoo. This is what I asked you to do, right? So you guys are getting the picture. And that's just the first 3 out of 15 times that I have to go to him when I have other things to be doing that are my job and this is his job. So what I realized is I obviously have not trained you to do your job and I'm mad at you. But apparently I didn't train you. So even though you're 12 and I would like you to have learned this by now, I need to back up with you. So what can I do to help you? And this is what he said to me. Mom, remember when I was really little and you drew that that chart for me? I'm like, no. Oh, you mean the one that says brush your teeth and I drew a picture of the toothbrush and make your bed and I drew a picture of the bed and yeah, that's the one. I said, you want me to write you a chart of the things you need to do at 12 in the morning? He said, yeah, and would you draw pictures? Now, I had an option here. I can either keep being upset at my 12-year-old, or I can say he didn't learn at 4 what I wanted him to learn, and I need to backtrack. And that is loving. Being upset at him for not learning is not loving. Discipline means to teach. To disciple means to teach. These are the same root words. To punish is not about teaching. And so often the wrong words that I speak, my negative scripts out of my mouth, are punishing words, not teaching words. So I had to come back in a moment where I wasn't having the problem and say to him, how can I teach you to take ownership of your mornings because they're not my mornings? And we've been working through that, and he's got it on his bedside table what he needs to do, and he now needs to get up earlier so that if he does struggle, there's time without me losing my cred. And so we made different plans. My oldest, the one that I had to take home to do homeschooling with because his ADD was just so off the hook, he'd come home and say, I know how to make my face look like I'm paying attention, but I have no idea what we did today. So I brought him home, and then I would, during our homeschooling time, every time we hit math, I would lose my cred. And I would make different plans, but each time I made a different plan, it was like another wrong plan. So I was like, I know if I talk louder, it'll maybe shake up your brain, and you'll be able to hear me, and you'll do your work. Well, that didn't work. So I'm like, well, if you do 5 push-ups between each math problem, that'll work. So nothing I was doing worked, and then I was ready to give up, and my friend said, well, why don't you just hire a tutor? Oh, I can do that? Like when you're a homeschool mom, you can hire a tutor? She said, yeah. So I hired a tutor, and the guy came in to tutor him, and he had the softest voice ever. I was like, this is not going to work. You do not talk loud enough for a kid with ADD. And so I leave the room, and I came back like 20 minutes later, and they're playing cards. I was like, what are you guys doing? He said, oh, he finished all his math. He totally got it. And what that taught me was my loud voice, all of my passion and not compassion, it wasn't working. I had to do something radically different. And so he had that tutor for a while, but in general, it was a picture for me to learn. I had to take off the behavior that I was doing, and I had to put on compassion, put on a quieter voice, put on love. I had to actually do things different. Moms, if you're doing things wrong right now, if you're losing it over the sibling rivalry between your 2 and your 3-year-old and the meltdowns in the car and vegetables and shoes and nap times, you need to stop. You need to stop. And I say that tenderly because I know the struggle. But we still have to stop. And we still need to pray and ask God for help. We still need to ask God, point us to your word. God's word says that it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And so we can apply that to our lives. It's the kindness of a mother that has the power to transform and lead her child to repentance. But at the same time, we need to actually stop saying the wrong things. If you cuss at your kid, or you say, I don't know what it is that's going to convict you, just constantly telling your kid that he's a bully toward his little brother, and you know when you go to sleep, gosh, I got to stop saying that, then I want to invite you to not just say, I'm going to stop saying that. I want you to come up with a better way. You might have a bully for a kid. I have a bully. My youngest is naturally bullyish. And yet we stopped and we said, you are not a bully. You are not a bully. But you're bullying your brothers. And so we've got for him a list of scriptures we go through when he's not having the problem. And we have a couple phrases, scripts, that I've now created for him. And I'll say, hey, Asher, I do not doubt that your brothers did something wrong to you. But you cannot overcome their wrongdoing with bullying them. You can only overcome evil with good. And that's become my script. And if you're familiar at all with Bible verses, then you might notice that my words have been kind of molded by the word. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I'll say, hey, buddy, you can't overcome their evil. Their bad behavior with your bad behavior. You can't bully a bully, but you can love them. So here's another verse. As long as it depends on you, Asher, as long as it depends on you, you got to be at peace with everybody, but especially your brothers. And then every time I hear these right words to them, guess who it applies to most of all? Wendy, I can't bully a bully. Shaming Asher for being a bully never bore fruit. It never helped him stop bullying his brothers. In anger, taking him away, yelling at him with spittle flying and eyes bulging and nostrils flaring, never helped him stop yelling and putting them down and grabbing things. So, I did wrong in how I spoke to my kid about homeschool. Math. I came up with a different plan. I was saying the wrong thing to my kid who's sitting on the floor or sitting at the bottom of the shower just waiting for me to come and get him again. I made new plans. I said, okay, obviously that's not working. Let's go back to when you were 4. Let's put together the chart. This is teaching time. I'm sorry, by the way, Brody, that I didn't make sure you had this then. But I'm committed to helping you now because my job as your mom, is to make sure you got it. And right now, you don't got it. So sometimes we have to go backwards to start going forward. Okay, so let's do this. Let's start with somebody throw out the area or the phrase or the word that you're too embarrassed to throw out. Somebody just be courageous enough to say, I tell my kid this when they're doing that. I'm sorry. Sometimes you tell them what? Did you guys hear that? That's not good, but I might gotta be careful now not to say that because that's good. Sometimes I tell them to cry on the inside. You know, some kids are big criers. Sometimes they're big criers. We call them highly sensitive kids. And it's a thing. And I'll tell you, it's hard to be them. Who here has found out anything about the Enneagram? Okay, if you have not, you guys, it's so good. It's so, so good. It's like the personality test. It's known as like the ancient personality test. So it's been around for centuries. And you have these 9 different numbers that represent different personalities. I am a 4, which means I don't have feelings. It means I am feelings. Top to bottom, left to right, 24/7. And as a child, I cried a lot. As an adult, I cry a lot. I cried today already a few times. So I think that it's a gift to say whether you have a 4 who cries all the time or an 8 who's a challenger, right? To say, God in his wisdom, which his ways are not my ways, saw fit to make me the mother of this personality. And this personality has these struggles. My four. Talking numbers now. My middle child, who struggles so much, is a 5. And there are so many things about his personality that are just weird. They're just weird things he does to me. He can memorize. I mean, it's a little like Rain Man-ish. And he knows all the lyrics to any song he's ever heard. And he wants to tell you all the lines to all the movies and tell you all about the Minecraft and all about, you know, it's just like, and on and on. And can you just keep that on the inside? So even though it's not crying, I totally understand. So what do we do? And I think I actually said this, and then I'm going to get back to it. I think I said this last time, but I'm going to say it again because it's huge for me. That there are personalities we're raising that feel like sandpaper. It's like right up against me all the time. And yet, you know what happens when you lean into a piece of sandpaper, right? Well, you'd get scratched, but a piece of wood, right? Here, this beautiful piece of wood. Somebody hold up do you have your wood? She's happy birthday, by the way. And she got this beautiful cutting board, gorgeous piece of olive wood that obviously has spent much time with sandpaper. And it's smooth and it's beautiful. And I think that God wants that picture for us. And some reason, he decides to refine us in our marriages. And with these children, that sometimes we want to say, "You sure, God?" But if there's anyone that we can trust a piece of sandpaper with, it's a carpenter. Yes? So, what do you say to the kid that's crying again? That's a really good question, and I would encourage you to come up with a script that is empathetic. So it starts with, "I'm sorry that you're hurting." So it's acknowledging that there's hurt there. And maybe it's a place in the house, you know, that front room where nobody actually spends time, or mom's room, there's a reading chair where nobody goes and spends time except for mom, and really, mom doesn't even, because who's got time for that? But you choose some place, and you say, "Hey, come, how old? 5. Come on over here. I got this special journal that's just for you, and when you are hurting, I want you to know you can always come to my chair. You can draw pictures. You can write some words down that you're feeling. Tell me when you're coming, and I'll give you a few minutes, and I'll meet you there." Now, I want you to hear me say, that might be stupid. It might be stupid, but it's less stupid, perhaps, than cry on the inside. So when you're coming up with new scripts, and I mean that in total love, when you're coming up with new scripts, it's okay to say the wrong script. Just don't say the same wrong script as you're trying to work it out. So, and maybe it's a matter of, do you just need me to hold you right now? Because sometimes life is big and hard. But, and one of my kids that cries a lot, I would tuck him into bed. And that's usually when his tears came, was at bedtime. Any other bedtime criers? And I'm not talking about us. The kids. So I would tickle his back and I would sing, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. And he'd start singing it with me, and when he'd stop crying, I would say, okay, so tell me something that's true. Nothing. I don't have it. I don't know. What's true is I love you. What's right? I don't know. Well, what's right is that God was really, really good when he gave you to me. What's right is that you have a lot of things you enjoy playing and a house full of things to play with. What's noble? I don't know. I know what's noble. Noble has to do with royalty, right? You're a son of a king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords calls you his beloved son. And then he gave you to me to be my son. And we just start talking through these things when he's overwhelmed by all the negative emotions. And then after that, he'll always say, but let me tell you about my feelings. Again, because I was just here last. Did I tell you about Brody's feelings? What he said to me one time? He says, Mom, sometimes I feel like a crumpled piece of paper. And I want you to flatten out the paper, and I'm going to tell you the feelings, and you're going to write them down and read them back to me. I'm like, that was a total mixed metaphor, because if you're the I can't. But who says that, right? Who says that? Someone who has very, very deep emotions. And when I'm tired at the end of the day, I do not have the bandwidth for your crumpled piece of paper. Except I have to. It's not a choice. I have to love beyond my ability to love. I have to be patient beyond my ability to be patient. I have to be kind beyond my ability to be kind. So yes, I abide in him and he abides in me, and he will bring that fruit in my life. But as he does it on the inside, I have to sometimes muscularly do it on the outside anyway. Give me a moment. Feel all the feelings. I'll be back. Okay, what do I need to do to be able to cope with that? And then get myself back into a place where I can come in there and cuddle up and speak truth into his life. So I don't know your specific person, but these are some things with my specific people. But if I don't make a plan, then I will continue to blame and shame. That's my go-to response, is shame my kids for needing more of me than what I have to give them. Whether it's finding their shoes and we're late for church, or all the emotions that tuck in, or a mind that's not working well for math. Okay, what's another something you say? I won't make fun of you like I did her. That was a really good one, though. I'm the only one that says crappy things to my kids. Yes, ma'am.
My boys will fight over toys constantly, and I've gotten to the point where I will just, if they can't stop fighting over it, I'm just going to break it.
Okay. You know, I think you're actually going a great direction. I do. I think breaking it's a little extreme. My husband would say the same thing. I remember him picking up the green machine over his head and walking to the trash can. I'm like, no! But why in the world is it not okay to say, for even a long period of time, I mean, you can say, that goes away today. Here, take it to my closet. I don't want to take it to, I'll do it fine. Hey, one of the things that I've done with my kids poorly is given them the chance to earn back their stuff too fast, too fast. Whether it's the cookie after melting down at the table over the beef and the broccoli that had a little bit of sauce on it, God forbid, blotting it on the napkin, you know? It's like, just put it in your mouth. You know, big tears over dinner. Just have two bites and you can have the cookie. If I could go back, I would not let them earn everything back quite so fast. These are good teachable moments. Oh, what is it? You're struggling with this? Let me take the struggle away. And that might be your script. See, I have to go put it down now. It's totally fine. And then I am a huge fan also of, I mean, most people call them timeouts. That sounds so negative to me. Obviously, this is my go-to script, and my boys are older now, 15, 13, and 10. And I do the same thing now I did when they were little. Obviously, it's not working to play together right now. Could I have everybody go to their rooms? That's my script, because what's my old script? My old script was, why can't you guys just, what if, and then the tears start, and after all, and we had such a nice breakfast, and I made bacon, and so I had to come up with a better script. And if I can take my emotion out of it, again, I'm a 4, very, very hard for me. You will say the wrong things in your emotion, like, maybe I just need to break that. But you will say the right things when you can parent without quite so much emotion. Again, compassion versus passion. So I actually can feel compassionate towards my kids when they're struggling over a toy, or in teenage years, over the position on the couch. That we finally got clear play. Actually, write this down. Clear play. I'm not even sure how you order it. My dad, I called him my dad. He's my husband. Oh, how embarrassing. He's the dad of my children. I'm weirded out now. He just ordered it, so it's called Clear Play. And so all the movies that we haven't let our kids watch, it takes out all the words. It takes out all, like, if you don't want the violence in Star Wars, what's Star Wars without some shooting, but, you know, whatever those movies that you're waiting because all the cousins have seen it, you can play it, and it takes out all the bad words and all the, like, sexy images and stuff like that. Anyway, so for my boys at this age, it's not usually fighting over the toy. It's fighting over the position on the couch. You know which position I'm talking about? It's this one right here. Used to be my husband's position. He doesn't even ask for it anymore. It's like, I don't even want to have too many things to fight about. But the oldest and the youngest fight over that position. So if they come out and we're about to watch a movie, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 on Clear Play, it's like 45 minutes long because there's so much cussing in it. It took all of it out. I'm like, well, that was a good movie. So we were finally going to see it last night. And the boys come out, I've got the corner, you know, slow motion. They're like hitting each other in the air and landing on the couch. And I can, not with passion, but with compassion, come out and say, oh, what a bummer. I guess we're not going to watch the movie tonight. Hey, guys, why don't you go back to your rooms and try coming out again? I know one of you can prefer the other one. Why can I say that? Because what I was saying wasn't working. And all the tears at nighttime about how I said the wrong things, and all the new mercies in the morning that I would pick up and do the same crappy things with, finally hit a point where I said, no, I don't want to say those things anymore. I want to say something better. So when I wasn't having the problem, I started making different plans. Okay, we're going to take a little break. Oh, we're so close to the end. No, I guess we won't take another little break. I'm going to do one more talking. Tell me, are you guys hearing what I'm saying? That you can actually make different plans? Okay, what you're going to do here at the end today is I want you to, somebody at your table, throw out something stinky that you're saying or doing, and I want you guys to brainstorm a better way. But I'm going to take one more first, okay? So one more. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, yeah. What I hear you saying is, A couple things. One, I'm too busy. I'm nursing the baby sister, brother. Brother. So I can't do it for you right now. And the second that I hear you saying is, I think if you think, you could probably figure this one out. And that's the thing that really can, I was going to say piss us off, you know, but just, it can be really hard, right? It's like, I'm already stretched too thin. I know it too. You know how to do this. So maybe in a moment when you're not nursing, and maybe in a moment where you're feeling a little more kind and prepared, you could give a challenge. And you could say, I want to challenge you as the big kid in this house now to say to yourself, I know the answer. So let me hear you practice saying it. I know the answer. Yeah, and she's going to say it. She goes, I know the answer. And then when she comes to you next time wanting you to tell her where the toilet paper rolls are, you know, where her clean big girl panties are and why she can't just whatever, say, well, you tell me. I thought, you know the answer. Well, you take a minute. You just go on out of this room. You go to your room and you think about the answer. And then when you come back, I will give you a round of applause. You tell me the answer. So she comes back in. I know where the big girl panties are. They are. I knew you could do it. So find a way to engage her in, I mean, I don't know why she's asking you the questions, but that's one idea. Spin it. I think so often we can take the negative of what we're saying and we can say the same thing in a positive. I'm going to take that away from you can become, I don't think I have to take that away from you. You know what I mean? You could say in that same scenario, I think you guys can share that. I think you can. So I'm going to give you a chance to show me. However, if you can't, we're just going to put it in my closet for the next week. A week or two. The melting down, again, to my season, over doing dishes. Oh, are we crying about doing dishes? But I did them yesterday. Oh, good. I made dinner last night, too. I think that you can serve our family this way. It's something that I like about you. You are a servant. However, if you're still struggling doing dishes, then why don't you just do them for the rest of the month? It'll give you plenty of practice to have a good attitude about it. I mean, we can respond to our children differently than what we do. And I've given a lot of grown-up kids because that's where I am right now. But I want you each to share at the table, or maybe just say at the table, okay, who's, because we only have about 15 minutes till you need to take off, right? 11? Oh, you have 30. Oh, you've got so much time. Okay, let me tell you one other thing that has nothing to do with this. I just like this. Well, it does a little bit. You guys have little kids, in case you didn't know. And your life is not what it used to be. And there are a couple things that you've given up in this season that can make you a little short-tempered. Sex can be very, very difficult to fit in your busy lives. By the end of the day, you are tired and don't want to be touched by another human being. And that's normal. But I want to tell you it's really important. If you're married, to keep that as a priority, to figure out how to not maybe binge watch on Netflix too late, but to prioritize, honey, I'm getting ready for bed, and I want to see you there. Showered, preferably. Or the baby sleeping. The two toddlers are asking for a couple of shows. You get a sippy cup of milk for each of them, a couple cookies, and you call it a two-cookie quickie. Honey, now. It's very important, but it's totally different. I know it's totally different than what I was talking about, but instead of just being angry with each other, In a moment where you're not fighting over how you don't do it anymore, make some plans. Another thing is you used to have people over. Now the house is a wreck, and really, make a meal? I want to encourage you to invite people into your house without freaking out about how dirty it is. You know, enlist everyone in the home, 15 minutes of cleaning, it's all we're given. And you put on your favorite music, really loud, like uncomfortably loud, and everybody knows they have to work for 15 minutes. And if it looks good, okay, who are we inviting over? Little Johnny, Emily's family. All right, we'll start with Johnny's family. Can you come over tonight? No, okay, we're calling Emily's family. Emily, can your family come over tonight? Yes? Okay, I've got hot dogs, chips, and salsa. What do you have? It can be in this season that easy. But I think sometimes we're losing our cred because we feel so isolated, we're exhausted, we're not laughing, we're not having sex. So I want to invite you to have sex more often and have people over, but not at the same time. Here are two cookies, little milk, we'll be right back. What I'm trying to say is we can do this. We can make some changes. We don't have to be stuck in the same anger and exhaustion. You are very, very loved by the God who made you. So often we look at our kids and all of a sudden the whole focus is on that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God did a good job when he made you, and he did a good job when he gave you that piece of sandpaper. Lean into him. Let him rub some of that character out of you so that your character looks more like his character. The season doesn't last forever, but it sure feels like it for a while. But you're gonna end up looking more like Jesus on the backside of this season if you let him do that work in you. But it's not a hands-off Jesus transform me. You know, Jesus take the wheel. No, it's Jesus take the wheel and I am actively engaged figuring out what I need to do, how I need to behave, what I need to stop. Abide in me, I will abide in you. You will bear fruit in me on the inside, but I will on the outside. I will take off the wrong words. I will put on the right words. Okay, so last time I was here, I talked to you about triggers. This book is 31 things that set us off and make us angry, and make us look like that. We have the translation, the Spanish translation coming out, and we're just right now picking the face, a Hispanic face. Detonadores. And so I'm really excited about that. Okay, I was saying to someone in here, really short chapters. It's basically the length of a blog post, because in this season, if you're angry at your kids, you probably are not going to sit and, you know, read through a long chapter. If you know that you are responding in anger to your kids, please get this book. If you're going to bed every night feeling bad about it, here's the study guide. It's going to take you deeper into God's word. That's where transformation really happens. A few questions. Grab a friend, but this alone works like an accountability partner. $12, $10, or 2 for $20, these two together. I know that some of you have done it either on your own or as a group. Who's done it here, either on their own or as a group? Yes? Okay. So lots of you haven't. Really great group study, because you get together and it's so easy to talk about it. And then we followed up that book, my girlfriend Amber and I. Amber on the back here, she has 4 boys, I have 3 boys, 7 triggers between the two of our families. This is very similar to triggers. This is called parenting scripts, and it's all about what we talked about, which is actively making a choice to say different things when they, X, Y, or Z, do those things that they always do, and we're always surprised by it. So I'm just going to read a couple of the chapters. When your child needs positive motivation, during nap time and dinner time struggles, when your child's irresponsible, when your child ignores authority, what to say with your body language, what to say when siblings fight, what to say when they talk back to you, what to say when they cry over everything. Here, come get it. Seriously, this is for you. Though I really do like your script. It's kind of funny. Okay. Y'all are loved. I'm going to pray for you right now, and I'm just going to tell God that we trust him to transform us first. So often we're focused on why can't our kids change, that we forget that it starts here. We're the parents. We're leading them. So let's do it right, even if they do it wrong. And eventually, they're going to come with us. When your kids do wrong, you can still do right. You can figure out what you mean to say before you say something mean. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this group of women. Thank you for this church and for the leadership team here who put so much into making this a lovely morning, from food and like real coffee mugs. Lord, what a blessing to just fellowship. Father, I pray that you bless their parenting, that you bless their sleep, that you bless their marriages and their sex lives, and that you bless their friendships, that they have people over, that you just bless them. And some of those negative words, I pray that they would continue in the next couple days to put their finger on the things that they're saying that they want to stop saying, and in calm moments that they start making new plans. Because God, we want to love them as we have been loved by you completely, and with a long-suffering sort of love, not a quick-tempered love. Thank you, Lord. Amen.